Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. This is Racing Across America. And again, a little bit later on, Scott Shapiro from Churchill. And not too much later because we have a late start today. Ran a little over with the handicapper support, but that's fine. No, I just had some news and notes here for the first segment. We'll be joined shortly by Scott Shapiro from Churchill and then Klaus Ebner from Woodbine. A couple of really nice stakes days at those venues. So looking forward to a conversation with them. And as I say, some news and notes in the meantime. We wrapped up the Kentucky Downs meet on Wednesday. I was in doing OTB Live. Tossed out some plays on Twitter on both Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday was that card that last Sunday got canceled after the second race, or postponed, essentially. The last nine races, because of the weather, were moved to Tuesday. So I'd already handicapped because I was in last Sunday looking at it. So I put some plays up on Twitter. Did a little something there. And then Wednesday put some plays up. And again, we were in here all afternoon looking at it. And it was fun. Had a little hit there as well. But as I say, it was a fun meet, short meet, really the definition of boutique meet. Lots of big money up, lots of familiar names chasing that big money. And as the meet did wrap up on Wednesday, just did want to update on the leaderboard coming out of Kentucky Downs. Tyler Gaffleone, again, gets back down in Kentucky and jumps right back into it. Tyler Gaffleone had nine wins to take the honors on the jockey side. Kind of interesting stats for Tyler in that he had nine wins. He had 17 seconds. So he tops the leaderboard. Had to be a little frustrating, though. Nine wins, 17 seconds, and 3/3. You don't typically see the results that askew in that type of a fashion. Joel Rosario, for instance, underneath, he ran second, tied second with Gerardo Corrales, both with seven wins. Gaffleone with nine, Rosario and Corrales with seven. But for instance, Joel Rosario, seven wins, 4 seconds. He had 9/3, so that's a little askew as well. Corrales is more in line, 7-3-1. Irad Ortiz, six wins, winds up fourth. His brother Jose with five wins, winds up fifth. Julian Leperot down in sixth, tied with a couple others, Hernandez and Talamo. And Edgar Zayas, each with four. But it was Tyler Gaffleone on top of the leaderboard after the short Kentucky Downs meet. On the trainer side of things, a little more of a disparity between the winner and second place there. Mike Maker, who had a very good meet down at Colonial Downs, he winds up the leading trainer with 12 wins. Wesley Ward, second, with six. Safi Joseph, third, with five. So again, short meet, you're not going to knock it out of the park, but I'll tell you, 12 wins at the meet, pretty good for Mike Maker getting it done down there. And as I say, he had a very, very good meet. Had a good Saratoga and translated things nicely down to Kentucky Downs as well. Came out yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. Marty McGee in the Racing Forum picked up the press release sent out from Churchill Downs that they're tinkering a little bit with the Kentucky Derby and Oaks point system. The most notable thing is points will now go down to a fifth-place finisher in points races for the Derby and the Oaks. Previously, if it was a points race, for instance, in the 10-point races, the races where the top finisher, where the winner got 10 points, they would break it down. Winner gets 10, second 4 points, third 2 points, fourth 1 point. Now it is going to be 10, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And they're hoping, anticipating that perhaps this is going to generate a little more excitement, maybe a little more more folks that will look at the entry box because, you know, you get a chance at points. And again, I gave you the 10-point breakdown. Once you get up to 100 points, then you're talking about 100 for the winner, 42nd, 33rd, 24th, and 10 points if you get fifth. So, you know, a fifth-place finish late in the season, if you're looking, hey, I need a little more to maybe feel confident that I'm going to get into the field, maybe that makes those races a little more interesting. So, again, changing how many get awarded points, and some of the races also have had their points changed a little bit. Some of the preps have gone from 10-point races to 20-point races. That's going to include the LeCompte, the Southwest, the Withers at Aqueduct, the Holy Bull, the Bob Lewis, the Sam Davis, the Battaglia. So, again, a little tweak for the Derby and the Oaks point system could be interesting. I mean, I think the point system itself has been intriguing. It's been kind of a good move overall. There are some things I don't like about it. I think it works a little bit against a filly getting into the race, which I think is an interesting side story if that happens and if you have a talented filly. But I think the point system is working against that a little bit. We'll have to see him tweak that up, perhaps. Some other news, Jessica Pfeiffer, who was last year's Eclipse Award-winning apprentice, has said she's going to continue riding, but going to explore her options as a racing analyst out, you know, the in-house television at Santa Anita. So maybe we can look for her at Santa Anita. It seems like she'll be kind of behind the scenes and just watching some of the veterans do it, and maybe we'll see her later at the Santa Anita meet. She says, you know, no matter what I do, I will always be on a horse in the afternoons or mornings. 24-year-old, she's the stepdaughter of trainer Phil D'Amato, began riding in the fall of 2020 and rode as an apprentice until last November. And again, earlier this year, she was named as the leading apprentice, which is a funny category because these apprentices can lose their apprentice at different points in the year. And so at that point, you're looking at not full year stats to decide on the apprentice Eclipse Award. As an Eclipse voter, I'm always kind of stymied in some of those situations. So a little bit funny. But so far this year, we're pretty deep into the year. She's had 10 wins from 124 mounts for last year's leading apprentice. And I was a little surprised when I read this that she kind of didn't elect to, like a lot of apprentices do. It gets tough when you lose that weight allowance. And so a lot of apprentices will be knocking it out and making their bones on a more significant circuit with the weight allowance. And then they lose it. It becomes tougher and they'll shift over to another circuit to kind of, you know, get back in gear. She didn't do that as far as I know. And I was a little surprised that, you know, I won the Eclipse Award. Now I'm exploring other career options without maybe trying some other tracks. But whatever works. I mean, good for her that she won the Eclipse. And again, she is not announcing her retirement from riding. She's just saying I'm kind of exploring some other options. So we'll see what is in store for her. And as I say, interesting to watch and see how she does on the television side of things going forward out in Santa Anita. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as noted, Scott Shapiro from Churchill Downs will join us. We'll take a look at some of the Churchill Stakes action on a really nice stakes afternoon down at Churchill. All of that right after this. A little bit later, Klaus Ebner from Woodbine. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an outside.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, really happy to be joined now by Scott Shapiro. Typically from Churchill, I'll get Joe Christofek, who you see down in the paddock. Contacted him yesterday. He's tied up, but I got the number for Scott Shapiro. I said, let me talk to a little Scott today because we watch him in the paddock as well. And I say, always has some clever opinions. We'll see if we can get some of those this morning on a really nice stakes day down at Churchill. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Happy to be Joe's backup and happy to join you for the first time. We got a real fun card here on tap, 11 races and the road to the Derby and the road to the Kentucky Oaks, both getting started.
Yeah, I always say, and I'll ask if you agree. I mean, I would expect you'll agree being a Churchill guy, but, you know, I'm in here handicapping the afternoon show, and I'm looking at a lot of tracks all year long. I think both of the fall meets at Churchill, I think, produce very salty two-year-olds that turn into very nice three-year-olds we have to watch next year. And as I say, I think it's both of those fall meets down at Churchill, the two-year-old races, not just the stakes action, but I think the allowance action as well, very salty.
Yeah, without question. When I think about both the September and the fall meet here, the two-year-old races come to mind. And like you said, we've got the stakes races, of course, but you get, you know, first-level allowance events eventually and tons of very high-quality maiden races that produce a lot of stars, even if they don't win first out. Horses like Epicenter debut here often in the fall at Churchill.
And I have to ask, again, doing the handicapping show in the afternoon, I'm watching all the various tracks when I'm in here. New set for you guys, doing the pregame and the pre-race commentary. What was the impetus for the change there?
They're redoing a total renovation of the paddock, which will be ready a year from May in the Kentucky Derby. And we were outside the paddock there, as you said, Seth, and there's construction. That balcony where we would be looking over has been totally ripped down. So we've moved quarters. We moved indoors, which will be nice come November when it's nice out. You know, rather be outside. But Keith Wetzler and his team, our executive producer, have done a nice job of putting together an indoor studio for us. And hopefully it looks good to the people. I think it looks good to us here, you know, for a temporary studio.
It does look very good. And that makes sense because, yeah, you guys were overlooking the paddock. And I know there is that major renovation going on. So it makes sense that a little change up in the interim. And I say it whenever I have Joe on. I'll say it while you're on as well. Again, I am watching a lot of tracks during the day. And I watch a lot of the pregame shows and a lot of the pre-race commentary coming from the paddock. And I tip my cap. I think you guys down at Churchill do maybe one of the best pre-games in the paddock analysis as well. You put in some innovations as far as information you try to give out, and that's always fun. And I just like the team down there. You guys are always kind of a group of guys, and the conversation you have is the kind I would want when I'm sitting at the track, and you're giving out good ideas and, as they say, kind of innovative information. So, again, I say it to Joe all the time, but I'll pass it on to you to, again, pass on to your crew as well. Your pregame, you guys do a really good job.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, Joe does a lot of the producing. We've got a good team behind the set and whatnot, and it's been a lot of fun to continue to grow the product, and we put a lot of pride into the preview show and all the stuff we do. So it's great great to hear the compliments. That's much appreciated.
Yeah, and well-deserved as well. All right, let's jump into some action because, again, it's a really good kickoff Saturday for this meet with a lot of nice stakes action, and we'll kind of work our way back. Race number 11 is going to be the Pocahontas for the two-year-old fillies. I pulled up a replay. We're going to go back to Saratoga on August 21st. Grand Love is going to be the number two horse here, getting it done for Steve Asmussen. I'm looking at the morning line, and we just finished our handicapping show, and I said, I don't know if that 9-2 is going to hold up, but because Grand Love looked very good up at Saratoga. I'm tilting in that direction. I think Just a Warrior coming out of the stakes win at Ellis is intriguing. Naughty Gal, who won the Adirondack for us up here at Saratoga with D-Wayne Lucas. This is an intriguing race. What did you see in the Pocahontas?
It really is. I think it's easily one of the more competitive races on the day as the road to the Kentucky Oaks kicks off. And Grand Love, I was actually at Saratoga for the weekend when Grand Love won. And boy, she popped the gate that day. Didn't take a lot of money. Maybe some of that was because Rarify, the well-bred Wesley Ward trainee, took a lot of the money. And they ran 1-2 around the track. She got a little tired, but understandably, she went real quick early on. I think she's one of the ones to beat, as are the other ones you mentioned, Just a Warrior, perfect 2-for-2 for John Ortiz, who has been red hot over the last 90 days, hitting at a 25% clip. I'm going to take a little bit of a swing, though. I think there's a lot of speed in here, and I'm hoping number 12, Friendly Persuasion, a daughter of Arrogate for trainer Michael McCarthy, can kind of sit in that second tier and avoid a wide trip into the first turn. I found it interesting on the 4th of July, which was closing day here, that this horse was bet down to 5-2 favoritism in a 12-horse field for a barn that really doesn't win a lot at first asking and isn't based here in Kentucky. So clearly the word was out. This horse chased a hot pace that day and finished a mid-pack fifth, but then shipped up to Horseshoe Indianapolis, was scheduled to run on the turf. The race was washed off the sod, and she was absolutely dominant against, you know, a suspect group, but she won so much for fun. Looked like she loved the added ground, and I think she's going to take a big step forward here. But this is a wide-open event. If you're playing a pick five, a Derby City six, a late pick four, I would use several in here. But I do think Friendly Persuasion, if anywhere near the 8-1 morning line price, is probably worth a little bit of a gamble.
I like it. All right, let's turn the page, go back to race number 10. The Louisville Thoroughbred Society, $275,000 up for grabs, 6 furlongs. I'm going to show the Chesapeake from Colonial Downs. And I've been saying for the last week or so, I'm going to be interested to follow these Colonial horses because they ran very well at Kentucky Downs, and interested to see what they do as they go to other venues over the next few weeks. And this one coming in under the finish line first, and people can kind of judge for themselves watching the replay. I get it. I get why the horse was taken down, kind of squeezed the horse in the middle here. Necker Island is going to be the number 9 horse. Number 3 is Jalen Journey. Number 6 is Factor It In. So folks can kind of decide for themselves. Despite the DQ, I thought it was a good run from Necker Island. I'm going to tilt in that direction. But Dean Reeves had a great meet up at Saratoga, and part of that was Isolate. So I can't argue with that one being the morning line favorite. Miles Ahead is a little bit intriguing to me. But what are your thoughts in the Louisville Thoroughbred Society?
Well, we are on the same side in this one, Seth. I'm with you on Necker Island, and while I could see why they disqualified him, I thought, it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with it. It didn't take away from the effort that he put forth, like you said. I mean, I think he showed he was best that day, just grinding out Jalen Journey. And this is a horse that loves Churchill Downs. He's 5-for-12 here, and his trainer, Chris Hartman, in the month of September over the last 5 years, now 21-for-67 for a plus 114.4% ROI. So where I come from, that's pretty good. And if you wager on him, it's even that much better. I think he can kind of sit mid-pack. If they go at it early, he can be well out the back. But if they don't go that fast, which I think they'll go honest but not overly fast in here, he should be able to sit mid-pack. He's got a nose for the wire. He gives it his all just about every time. So Necker Island's my top pick. You mentioned Miles Ahead. He's my pick for second in here and a little bit of a better value option. The 5-year-old gelding has struggled to bring his races outside of Florida, had run some real big races at Gulfstream Park, but really had shipped out of Gulfstream a couple of times, tried to go to Kona Gold, tried to Vanderbilt, and was absolutely terrible in those races. In fact, finished last, but finally put a good start together outside of Florida in the Kelly's Landing when he ran too good to lose at 15-1, losing the last year's Breeders' Cup sprint winner Aloha West by just a neck. I'm not going to leave him off. He could regress, but he's been given time since that big effort here at Churchill. I'm going to use both of them. I do respect Isolate, as you mentioned, Dean Reeves with a tremendous meet at Saratoga. And, of course, this 4-year-old colt gave Tom Amos his milestone 4,000th win that day in wire-to-wire fashion. But it was a speed-favoring track that day, and he did have things his way. I'm not so sure if that'll be the case in here. I think Top Gun or two is outside is likely to put some pressure, maybe even Baytown Bear, a long shot to the far outside. So I'm going to play against Isolate, the 7-5 morning line favorite, using Necker Island and Miles Ahead.
Yeah, Miles Ahead hasn't been seen since early July, but has the bullet workout a week ago that bodes well. And I will say, you mentioned Tommy Amos in the 4,000th victory. We had him on, I want to say it was the day after the 4,000th. I had him on up at Saratoga where we're live from the backstretch every morning. And I asked him, you remember your first victory? And if you haven't heard the story, when you see Tom, ask him this story. It's a pretty good story that relates
to. I saw the photo.
Yeah, relates to a cheap motel, and he gets a nice parking space out of it with his first victory. So it's worth checking into the story on that one. All right, let's turn one race sooner. We looked at the 2-year-old girls in the Pocahontas. We'll look at the 2-year-old boys in the Iroquois Grade 3 event, $300,000 up for grabs. I'm a homer. I couldn't get past pulling up a replay from Echo Again. Echo Again's the number 5 horse on this replay. A 94 buyer for a 2-year-old at that time of year is pretty solid. It was a big performance. I'm going to tilt in that direction. But again, as a homer, Damon's Mound is interesting. Had Michelle Lovell on with me up at Saratoga. Easy to root for and 2 for 2 so far. So that one's interesting. But Echo Again, I'll say this to you guys. If Echo Again wins and you guys get to interview in the winner's circle, we were talking on the handicapping show earlier. I hadn't noticed it until my partner on my co-host brought it up. He's the only one in this field that doesn't show a Breeders' Cup nomination symbol in the PP. So if you guys get an interview, I'd be curious to know that about Echo Again. But I'm going in that direction. Your thoughts on the Iroquois?
That's interesting. I didn't realize that at all, but that's something to take note of. We'll try to get an answer to that. But the Kentucky Derby, the Road to the Derby kicks off. Seems like it was just a few days ago when it was Rich Strike coming from well out of it. But we're ready to get another Derby run started. And in the Iroquois had been a pretty live race in years past. It produced some horses that at least made a little bit of an impression. But the last 3 years with Dennis Moment, Sitting on Go, and then most recently Major General, hasn't necessarily produced a major Derby horse. That might not be the case, though, this year. As you mentioned, I think Echo Again is a deserving 2-1 morning line favorite. Could not have been more impressive. Was the talk of the town long before that debut on August 20th. Was not only fast, but he was professional. He ran straight and strong the whole way. Got out of the gate well. Doesn't look like a horse that'll have any issues getting the added ground. So I made him my top pick as well, Seth, along with you. I do want, easy to root for, like you said, number 3, Damon's Mound. Michelle Lovell has done a great job with the son of Gervin, who has kind of, bucked the pedigree. Not much pedigree for this Florida-bred son of Gervin, but so far he's done nothing wrong. Now, he did get an absolutely perfect setup and did take advantage of it, but a perfect setup in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special when Gulfport kind of put in a weird run that day and they went at it on the front end in just a 4-horse field, but hard to knock a horse that's rattled off 2 big wins from off the pace. He's got to prove, like many in here, of course, including Echo Again, that he can get the added ground. He's definitely a tough horse to be excited to play against. And then I think number 6, Jace's Road, is going to get a little bit forgotten. You hear Damon's Mount and Echo Again as the headliners. But this Son of Quality Road, they cost $510,000 for the Albaugh Family Stables in West Point. Brad Cox, obviously, very capable, and his horses, whether they win or not at first ask, can usually take a big step forward in their second start. And if he does, he's going to be right in the mix because he ran very well with a stalk and pounce trip from the outside draw at Ellis back on August 6th. So a little more top-heavy, or probably a lot more top-heavy, actually, than the Pocahontas, the female counterpart. But this is a really fun race, definitely the race I'm looking forward to most today, and not overly creative in it, though.
Totally agree. And Jace's Road comes out of Ellis Park. And I talked to you a little bit earlier about how salty the 2-year-old races are, the Churchill September and the fall meet. But over the past, I'd go back maybe 5 years, Ellis Park has been really kind of a proving ground for some nice 2-year-olds as well.
No doubt about it. It seems like more and more each year. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's been going back for a little while, but it seems like more and more each year. Maybe COVID had something to do with it. Some of the top barns, Brad Cox, amongst others, keep their top 2-year-olds or a lot of their top 2-year-olds here instead of sending all the top ones to Saratoga and then, sending the second string or third string to Ellis. They're definitely leaving some good ones behind. And Ellis Park has produced some nice maiden-breaking performances.
No, it's been fun to watch over the past few years with those 2-year-olds coming out of Ellis. All right, the Locust Grove, race number 8, to me, it's only a field of 6, but to me, this is a real head-scratcher. I landed on Played Hard. I'm going to look at the August 4th race up at Saratoga. Played Hard's going to be the number 3 horse here. Gutsy nose victory in this one. I land there, not with a lot of confidence, though. En Voutant ran 3rd in this race last year, comes out of a 3rd and a restricted stake up at Saratoga for Ken McPeak. Ken also has Crazy Beautiful. On the class, she's probably the direction to go. You look down the PPs, Malathat, Clarier, Latruska, so Crazy Beautiful. But off the last few races, I couldn't quite pull the trigger. class-wise, she may just have the edge in here, though. I wasn't sure which way to go. So, again, tepidly, I landed on Played Hard. What are your thoughts on the Locust Grove?
Yeah, it is a pretty challenging race, despite just a compact group of six, like you said. And Played Hard, certainly one of the ones to beat. The race she showed on August 4th out of the Wilson Chute was a really big effort when her and Boston rode for Chad Brown. Boston Post rode, excuse me, for Chad Brown. Really threw it down. And little bit concerned that she ran maybe too hard that day. Now, yeah. She has had 6 weeks. It was a tremendous meet for Phil Bauer. He didn't start a lot of horses at Saratoga, but he did a ton with the ones he started, and this one was one of the winners that he had. I respect Played Hard quite a bit. I think she could be the one to catch in here. I'm definitely going to use her. But En Boutant just has this affinity for Churchill Downs. She's run some good races elsewhere, but she's run all of her best races here under the Twin Spires. She's 4-for-7. She's never finished off the board in those seven tries. And this is her second start of the form cycle. She put forth a speed and fade effort at Saratoga in the Summer Colony on August 19th when the inside might not have been the place to be that day, and she was inside speed. So I'm going to predict that she sits a nice pocket trip here under her regular rider, Brian Hernandez Jr., who hasn't been aboard the last two out-of-town voyages but has been aboard most of her best efforts. So I'm En Boutant over Played Hard. And I do think number one, Gold Spirit, a horse you're probably familiar with in the New York area that hasn't been seen for some time, but comes back in a Grade 3 event for Todd Pletcher off about an 11-month break. She ran fourth in the Beldame when we last saw her. Has a steady series of drills at Churchill. And as we know, Todd Pletcher, very, very capable of having horses ready to fire big shots off the bench. So I'm going to use all three of them, but I do prefer En Boutant the most.
Yeah, a trainer change you don't see too often. Chad Brown to Todd Pletcher with Gold Spirit. And you mentioned Phil Bauer. I had Phil on probably two-thirds of the way through the Saratoga meet. I had him on one morning, and I said, we have to cover the chair in asbestos. Man, you talk about red. That was a crazy meet he had. Good for him. But, boy, that was just crazy. Everything he sent out, you had to pay attention to. Just nuts. All right, let's go to race number 7, and it'll kick off the stakes action. And I will say, I am envious because we're looking at the Open Mind for the ladies sprinting, and you have two good ones down there that do very well at Churchill and are just fun to watch. Bell's the One and Sconson. I'm going to pull up their last showdown. That was the Lady Tack back on that Arlington Million Day in the middle of August, and it's going to be Bell's the One getting it done. Sconson will be the number 2 horse and disappoints running 4th in there. But, boy, I'm just looking forward to seeing these two show down again. And I'm slightly giving it to Bell's the One off of the effort last time. And I think tactically being outside of Sconson, she maybe has a little bit of an advantage. But I really like Sconson as a racehorse. But as I say, I'm tilting towards Bell's the One. What are your thoughts?
Well, I expect Sconson to definitely bounce back off that flat effort in the Lady Tack when she finished 4th, beating 2.5 lengths, but just wasn't herself that day as the 4-5 favorite. Bell's the One won that Lady Tack in impressive fashion. Kind of feels like whenever I feel like I have a beat on which one of these is better, the other one beats the one that I thought was in better form. But I'm going to take a swing against them both. There was a big scratch of Chitara before early this morning in the Open Mind, which makes Joyful Cadence to me lone speed in here. She was not necessarily, she was all loose on the lead to an extent in the Lady Tack, but Love Me Some Me, a horse that ran 2nd in an allowance event yesterday for Tom Drury Jr., was pressing her. I don't see anybody that's even going to press her in this spot, and I think she's a horse that might be a little bit on the come. While we know we've Sconson and Bell's the One still giving it their all, but we may have seen their best at this point. And John Ortiz, the trainer, has been red hot of late. He's clicking at 25% over his last 90 days. And he's got Ray Gutierrez on here, and I think they're just going to send this daughter of Run Happy to the front. And they may never look back. I think she's a 4-year-old that's, like I said, hitting her best stride. Not an overly strong opinion. I think any of them can win. Any of those three can win. But I will take a little bit of a swing here. I think I should get a pretty good price with Joyful Case.
I don't blame you with the scratch. That one does look in a short field like the speed that going to be a little catch me if you can. Always like to root for Ray Lou, upstate New York guy. That'll be a fun way to kick off the stakes action on Saturday and a really nice opening Saturday weekend card. Again, the September meet at Churchill now underway. Scott, appreciate it. Fun conversation. And again, now that we have you in the mix, we will talk again down the road. But good luck to you and everybody this afternoon at Churchill Downs.
Appreciate it. It was great joining you, Seth. Thanks for the kind words, and hopefully we can make a few bucks today.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Scott. Scott Shapiro from Churchill Downs. We'll take a break. When we come back, Klaus Ebner will take a look at the Woodbine action, Woodbine Mile, and more north of the border. I wish we were up there. Normally, again, I say normally, but the past couple of years with the pandemic, we have missed the Woodbine Mile, but we were regulars up there for a while. Again, if you haven't had a chance to get up to Woodbine, from our area, it's boom, a shot down the turnpike, shot down the thruway to Buffalo. You take a right turn and you're maybe another, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. And really nice facility. It's a lot of fun. And if you time it right, you know, you can maybe make a Saturday at Woodbine. I still think Sundays at Fort Erie, right? And Fort Erie and maybe a Monday at Finger Lakes. Make a whole racetrack trip of it. But we'll talk a little Woodbine with Klaus Ebner right after this. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and this is Racing Across North America this morning, as we will talk a little Woodbine Mile. Nice day, always nice day up at Woodbine, and happy to be joined by our friend up at Woodbine, Klaus Ebner. Klaus, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. And I said it during the handicapping show as I was promoting this show earlier this morning. I said you and I texted back and forth, and you said, man, we miss you guys up here. And I texted back, we miss you, because our trips up there, always a lot of fun. You guys are great. And I touted before the commercial break, people in our area, nice trip just up the thruway, take a right at Buffalo, and you're right there at Woodbine, and it's worth the trip for people to go up. Klaus, I'm curious, though. You know, obviously, with a couple of years with the pandemic, that was a problem crossing the border. And I know Canadian protocols seemed a little stricter than ours for a while. But what are things like at the track now as far as, you know, the pandemic? And are things pretty much back to normal at this point?
There's still some requirements in regards to, you know, especially vaccination status. So that's still sort of the norm right now. But and there's another thing called the Rive Can app or whatever it's called. So it's an app that you have to install on your phone to cross the border. But, you know, I won't get into the whole political details with that, Seth. But, you know, for the most part, I think a lot of things have returned to normal. I know that for us in terms of, you know, masking mandates and then a few of those other things, they have returned to normal. I think the most important part for all of us here at Woodbine is that, you know, the government's allowing us to race and, we're getting back to normal. Let's just say that. And, you know, I know I was at Saratoga, seeing the great crowds there. I know we spoke briefly when I was there, but yeah, it's just great seeing fans back in the stands, if you will, in both sides of the border.
Yeah, no question about it. And I'll ask you. I don't know if any decision has been made, but is the Queen's Plate going to stay where it is in August, or does the future hold getting back to that early July race date?
Yes, so that's actually a great question, and it's actually been part of the whole question as well with, you know, the naming of it. So,
oh, right. I didn't even realize that until that article came up. I didn't even know that was an option. That's intriguing as well.
Yeah, so that's the big thing, too, is that traditionally the race has been named after the ruling sovereign in the UK. So those that didn't know, and you know, from the 1900s through to like the 1950s, well, we actually had, you know, 50 years of the race calling it being called the King's Plate. And then once Queen Elizabeth came into power, well, it's been the you know, Queen's Plate for the past 70 plus years, whatever it's been. So, yeah, it's quite interesting because, you know, I'm sure those who are still around watching the King's Plate in the 50s will remember that. But for those of us that have kind of been around, at least racing as long as we have, it's always been known as the Queen's Plate. So I think it's part of the bigger discussion, what we want to do. So we're still deciding, you know, the naming of the race, will we keep it as Queen's Plate to honor her, or will we kind of stick to tradition and revert back to the King's Plate? So it's all part of a bigger discussion. So naming of the race and then also positioning on the calendar for 2023.
Interesting. We'll keep our eyes on that. Woodbine Mile is right where it's traditionally been, and we'll talk a little of that and some of the other stakes in a moment. But before I do that, just wanted to, you know, we've been watching and enjoying the Woodbine racing all season long here on the network, and I wanted to touch on some of the human side of things and get some of your thoughts for folks who are maybe playing the day-to-day action. I pulled up Equibase last night. Mark Cassie having a good meet. I've had Mark sitting next to me up at Saratoga about 3 weeks ago or so, and we talked a little bit of his Woodbine. Really, from the beginning of the meet, he's been doing very well, and he's in the lead with 77 wins. Kevin Attard, 59. Marty Drexler at 37, and on the jockey side of things, Kimura with a nice lead, 91 wins over Hernandez, 74, Justin Sines, 67, Emma Jane Wilson sitting in fourth with 47. Give us some of your thoughts on the jockeys and trainers so far at the meet.
Yeah, so it's been quite interesting, especially if you look at, you know, some of the typical combinations. So in the past, at least the past year, prior to him getting injured, you'd see a lot of the combinations of Kimura and Cassie. So you'd still see Cassie kind of going to Patrick Husbands occasionally here and there. But, you know, as it kind of Kimura got into that, when he was doing well, he kind of got into that, you know, taking over some of Husbands' rides. And then now, after Kimura got injured, you're seeing Sahin Savachi actually pick up a lot of Cassie mounts as well. So it's interesting. So in the past, you kind of would see that combination typically of Cassie and Husbands kind of rooted in our racing up here at Woodbine. But now, you know, as Patrick kind of got older, Cassie started to spread that out. You know, he went with Kimura for quite a while last year. Then again, Kimura was injured up until the week before Queen's Plate. And then now you've seen a lot of him, you know, Cassie sort of spreading the wealth, if you will. So you see the likes of, like I said, Savahi riding a lot of his horses. You also see Declan Carroll also getting on a lot of mounts for Cassie. And I'm sure that has to do with the fact that, you know, Cassie's assistant trainer is his dad. So, you know, I'm sure that helps out things in regards to Declan Carroll getting some rides on Cassie mounts. Again, nothing against Declan Carroll's a rider. He's a very good rider. But, you know, I'm sure that can help out things in terms of the politics.
Nothing wrong with a little nepotism in the world. And I'm also,
not at all. No.
As I'm looking down the list, sitting at number six, Antonio Gallardo, who I'm a big Tampa guy in the wintertime, and he's down there. Is this his first season up at Woodbine?
It's actually his second season, I think.
Okay.
So he has been up here for a couple of seasons now, applying his trade. You know, and yeah, we have seen a few of the American riders come up. So I know Eswan Flores came up. I believe he was a California rider before. So, and as I mentioned, Declan Carroll. So yeah, there have been a few sort of, you know, U.S. transplants come up, trying to make a name for themselves. And one interesting rider, and again, this is one to kind of keep your eye on, if you will. That's a young up-and-coming rider. He's only 16 years old, but he's kind of making a name for himself already, and that's Slade Jones. So Slade Jones is a 16-year-old kid. If you see him in person, he's almost like, for those of you that kind of saw Joseph O'Brien when he was riding, very sort of same sort of thing, where he's like, you know, he's almost like 5'10", but he's like a gangly 5'10". hasn't grown into his body. He's just a bone rack. I'm not trying to make fun of the guy, but just, it's really, that's, you know, he's just a really skinny guy. But he's riding the lights out at Woodbine. He had three winners on the inner yesterday. So we had three races on the inner turf, and he won all three yesterday. And I think he's on another horse on the the inner turf in the first race today. But with that race, just to note, you know, he is on the 9 horse, and the outside posts for the inner haven't been as great this year. You know, post 1 and 2 were really doing well. But again, I think he's a rider you can kind of focus on, and you know, he'll bring you home some prices, that's for sure.
Yeah, sitting number 8 in the standing, so good to know. All right, let's get some opinions on some of the stakes action this afternoon, and we'll kind of work our way backwards. We'll start with the Natalma. That's race number 10, scheduled to go off a little after 6 o'clock tonight. Natalma, grade 1, mile on the grass. I pulled up a replay here. I'm going to look at G. Laurie, going back to a maiden special debut effort at Colonial Downs for Grand Motion. Pretty good-looking win for this one in the career debut. Going to be the number 7 horse on the replay here. I tilted in that direction. I thought Wickenheiser playable coming out of a 5th place finish in the Catch a Glimpse, but I thought the race, the Maiden Breaker 2 back, you know, this is kind of a come from the clouds horse off a couple of sprints stretching out. Wickenheiser also a little bit interesting. Cairo Consort off the win last time in the Catch a Glimpse. This is an interesting race. These three attract my attention. I could point to another one or two, but what were your thoughts on the Natalma?
Yeah, you know, for me, I was just basically, like you mentioned, that Catch a Glimpse race. So for me, the one coming out of that I really liked it was Adora. Adora, we talked about the Kathy Husband's combination. Well, here you go. Here's Adora. She's bred by Samson Farms, who, those who don't know, was one of the, you know, was one of the leading perennial leading owners and breeders here in Canada. This one sold for $450,000. So, you know, by Tracy Farmer. So third stuff off the shelf for this one, really bred to get the distance and quality breed, but you know, by intermission out of a Spicetown mare. Closed last time out after having a bit of a wide trip, in my opinion. I just think this one, for me, looks like a horse on the improve. Yeah, you know, Cairo Consort, you know, won that race. I thought, you know, with ease, but I'm just not sold with the connections there with Cairo Consort. Again, nothing against Nathan Squires and Gallardo, but I don't know. For me, it's just that was the horse I wanted out of that race in terms of Adora. So I'm looking more at Adora. So more of those horses coming out of there. You mentioned G. Laurie. That's another one I'm looking at as well. I just think that's, you know, Grand Motion does very well up here, so he knows horses that fit Woodbine. So, you know, he's not going to bring a horse that's not adept to this track. So I think, like you mentioned, G. Laurie, who looked very, very good in that maiden special weight effort at Colonial. So
yeah, and most are coming
those are two.
Most are coming out of sprints. G. Laurie, that maiden breaker, which is tough to do to begin with. Maiden breaker and debut at a mile and 16th, so I thought he was interesting. Adora is interesting because Mark Kasioff, the maiden breaker up at Woodbine, and as I say, early in the meet, he was doing very well, and very well with his 2-year-olds. He went right to the Schuylerville and tested that one on the dirt. Didn't fare very well, but getting back to the turf and the Catch a Glimpse. Yeah, so Adora is one that I didn't use in my mix, but now that you're talking about it, I may have to revise that as I look again. Woodbine Mile, just prior to that, it'll go off a little after 5:30. I don't know. I debated using a little Get Smokin' on a pace play, but I eventually went with Modern Games as my top pick, and I'm going to pull up here the Sussex last time. Modern Games is going to be a clear second in here to maybe the horse of the world currently, Baid, and given that effort behind Baid and that Charles Appleby elects to go here, I'm going to tilt towards Modern Games. But again, Get Smokin' to me is interesting. Ivar is interesting. I also tossed in a little bit of Finest Sound coming in from Europe. It is traditionally the Woodbine Mile, a fun race. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you covered off most of them there, Seth, in terms of, you know, some thoughts that I had. You know, on paper, the race isn't on paper, but yeah, Modern Games, just based by the company that he's been keeping, surely looks like the one to beat in here, as is Ivar. So, you know, those two obviously very tough in here. You know, I think the one interesting thing to know about Modern Games is the fact that 3-year-olds have done very poorly in this big event. So there's been a limited sample size with 3-year-olds in this race, but you know, they haven't fared very well, and there have been some euros that shipped over for this race. Again, Modern Games looks to be the class of the field. And as you know, and as you mentioned, Charlie Appleby, just he's lights out in North America right now, so winning everything. So yeah, certainly those two are I think are you know, if they run the races, Ivar and Modern Games will be tough. But you know, there are a few in terms of the local connections. You know, Cheryl Spites in there, 12-1 on the morning line. I don't think the horse will go off that long. I think it'll probably be more like 6-7, 8-1 for Cheryl Spite. I know it sounds crazy, Seth, but I'm willing to throw out the last three. How about that? So. So, you know, with
well,
Cheryl
if you do
Spite,
and you go back to that Maker's Mark, I took a close look at this one because of the race at Keeneland.
Yeah, and the race at Keeneland, you mentioned that race there puts this horse right in the mix.
Yeah.
So, you know, Roger Atfield said, and I think, you know, it's been well spoken, I have nothing against the folks at Churchill, but that turf course has just been, excuse the expression, but suspect at best right now. So, you know, horses aren't really getting over that. We're going to be getting over that surface, so I'm willing to throw that out. And then the next start after that, you had a dirt experiment. So, again, another thing, I don't think that that was really this horse's cup of tea in terms of trying the dirt. I give him credit for trying it. He finished, you know, a respectable third. It was just, you know, someone had to finish third, and it just happened to be that, you know, Cheryl Spite.
Third behind two really good horses, too, Mind Control and Hot Rod Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, it wasn't a bad effort, but, you know, like I said, someone had to finish in third in that race against those two, right? And then the last race, Roger Atfield even said that the horse came out with you know, not really heat stroke, but just heat exhaustion out of that race. It was a very hot day at Woodbine. And the horse, you know, he ran his race, finished third, but wasn't anything great as terms of what the horse is really up to. So, you know, in my opinion, I'm willing to, like I said, throw out the last three for whatever, you know, different mitigating circumstances. And I think that Cheryl Spite, you know, the form has been muddied up well enough for me to get a bit of a price on Cheryl Spite in there in terms of the local horses. You mentioned Finest Sound. I like Finest Sound as well. You know, this horse has been carrying 130-plus pounds for the past five races, gets in here light at 122. And one thing of note, for those who don't know, is that Andrea Atseni, the jockey, he's a killer at Woodbine with Euros. So he's won the E.P. Taylor. He's won the International. He's won numerous races at Woodbine and, you know, even with some of the longer price horses too. So be very careful. He knows the course very well, rides it very well. So I think there's a chance there for Finest Sound. And the last one, just to kind of, you know, based on local recent form for me, was Wakanaka. So I'm not saying that she can win this in here, Seth, but I do think it's worth a long look at her. That race in the Dance Smart was very, very good. You know, on Figs, she's probably a little light, but she, you know, she's been running 95s, 97, so it's not like she's, you know, with no shot in here, but she's going to have to step up a little bit. But, again, that race, the Dance Smart, was, for me, it was very impressive in the last start here at Woodbine.
Yeah, and Bill Mott deciding to take a shot with a filly. I mean, you have to think they feel pretty good about the horse. And so I like that one. And, you know, as you're talking, that is intriguing to me. And the more I'm looking at Cheryl Spite and the case you were making there, I think that one's intriguing as well. Should be a fun race, yeah. So we shall see. Eighth race this afternoon, the Seaway. I pulled up a replay of Lady Spite Spear, and Lady Spite, I believe this one was entered at Kentucky Downs the other day, and so that they elect to go to this spot maybe says a little something as well. But in the Trillium last time, Lady Spite Spear is going to be the number 9 horse, getting it done as the favorite in a big full field. And off of that, I was a little bit intrigued. Cuts back to the 7 furlongs today. Super sensational for Mark Cassie, a little turf to a synthetic move here. Maybe beneficial for that one, stretching out a little bit after the first couple. It'll be third start back for Super Sensational. But again, we're watching Lady Spite Spear here. I'm going to tilt slightly in that direction. Your thoughts on the Seaway?
Yeah, we're very much aligned with that one, Seth, in terms of just who we like. I'm on the same page as you with those. So not much else to really say there. You know, one horse I was looking at a little bit was just, you know, I don't think they're working with, but I think as a shot is Dreaming of Drew in this race here, put together some decent efforts, and also just has come into the race with two bullet works as well. So if you're a workout person, that's one to look at in terms of possibly filling the back ends. And this horse is not finished out of the money at this distance. At Woodbine. So some things to like there for Dreaming of Drew.
Very good. And finally, fun race every summer up at Woodbine is the summer. It's a grade one event for the two-year-olds going a mile on the grass, and it's always a nice, fun, competitive field. I'm taking a shot in here with a morning line price. First, I'll be intrigued to see if the morning line holds up, but I'm going with Sammy Stone off a second-place finish in the debut effort. We're going to take a look at that. Awesome Bourbon's going to be the number 6. Sammy Stone is going to be the number 4. Catherine Day Phillips, pretty good looking debut, but for an Oscar performance runner that I think, looking at the rest of this field, I think could be live in here. Clearly, when Chad and Klarovic show up, you have to pay attention, and so I think Appraise is going to take some action. Philip, my dear, for Kevin Attard, 2 for 2 so far. You have the Euro in here with Mysterious Knight. Fun race. I'm going to see if I can make it more fun with a 20-to-1 shot. What are your thoughts?
That's why I started laughing as soon as you said Sammy Stone, because that's exactly who
I had a feeling. I had a feeling. Very good.
Which
maybe doesn't bode well for the 20-to-1.
I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know if it's good or bad. We're both on the same horse here, but I'm also on the Sammy Stone bandwagon with you. You know, Catherine Day Phillips, we both are big fans of. Seth sends this one out. She doesn't do that well with 2-year-olds, but yeah. In going back to that maiden effort, this horse was really coming on strong late. And to me, there's no real world beaters with big figures in this race, right? So, you know, yes, I know that Mysterious Knight will take some money for Appleby, and that's understandable just because, you know, his record here and record in North America. So I think, you know, Mysterious Knight could be a beast in the making here. But, again, I'm willing to take a shot, as you are, and see what Sammy Stone can do. And then, you know, of the other locals, one I was looking at was just Philip, my dear, impressive as last in the Soaring Free. So of the two horses, I'm probably looking at those two as well as Mysterious Knight.
Yeah, I think it could be a kind of fun. But as they say, maybe that we're both on that one does not bode well for the 21. Which looked kind of generous to me to begin with. But now I'm intrigued to see where the betting public does go. And as you say, there's no world beaters because, again, Chad and Klarovic always will take some action. But I don't think Appraise is one of their... You know, it's one of the standouts from that team. So it's going to be fun to see how that one shakes out when they load into the gate, how the odds play out. But again, a really nice stakes day up at Woodbine, highlighted, of course, by the Woodbine Mile. And you guys always do a great job. So we'll be watching and wishing you well. And Klaus, before we leave, I always like to catch up with you because I know you were an owner on the harness side of things. And again, you drove by the set. You and Keith zipped by the set one morning when we were on TV and we had a chance to talk briefly. That evening, you had a horse going at Saratoga Harness. So, A, I wonder how that horse did. And, B, do we have anything in the windshield here that we can be looking at either right here at Saratoga, or you got something coming up at Mohawk?
So I do have actually a 3-year-old trotter that's doing very well right now. His horse's name is Resolute Bay. So he did win a grassroots stakes race at Mohawk last week on Tuesday. I actually did the Fort Erie Prince of Wales Mohawk double that night, so it was great.
Nice.
Makes for a nice long day, but it was good. It was good. It paid off in the end, especially when you win a stakes race. So, you know, of all the horses I own, yeah, Resolute Bay, he's an improving 3-year-old trotter. He's going to get the semifinals next Tuesday or maybe Thursday or Friday. I have to see what the date is of the race, but certainly hope he can make it 4 for 4 on the year so far. So, yeah, we'll see how he does, and yeah, as long as we keep. Paying the checks, they're doing good for me. So.
Excellent. All right, we'll take a look for that one coming up next week. I will tout that on the air for folks and people to take a look at. Klaus, as always, a lot of fun to talk to you again. We miss being up there, but we wish you and everybody a great afternoon up at Woodbine, and we will talk again.
Thanks very much, Seth. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Klaus Ebner from Woodbine. Again, really nice card up there. We talked with Scott Shapiro, great card today at Churchill Downs. And again, it's a really nice card also at Belmont this afternoon as well with some stakes action down there worth paying attention to. Jockey Club Derby and the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational. Should be a lot of fun all around the horn today, and we'll cover a lot of it on OTB Live, which will kick off in probably about an hour and a half or so. We'll get to a lot of that action here. Otherwise, I will wrap things up. One of the pieces of news I had earlier, maybe I'll save it for tomorrow because I had a few other pieces, but I can save some of those for tomorrow. We are running late, so I'll wrap it up for this Racing Across America for this morning. Again, appreciate Klaus, appreciate Scott Shapiro stopping by to give thoughts Churchill and Woodbine. And as I say, we'll be looking at those. Belmont, and much, much more here on the network this afternoon. OTB Live in just about an hour and a half or so. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.